everybody. Welcome to Therapy Rocks, a personal growth podcast. I am your host, Signa Darpinian, co-author of No Way and the forthcoming book, How to Raise Body Positive Teens, both with Jessica Kingsley Publishers in London. Have you ever worried about the inevitable physical changes that come with middle and old age? Or started to feel invisible as you've grown older, especially if you identify as being female? Well, Connie Subcheck is here today to talk to us about the practice of aging gracefully. She is the author of Embody, Learning to Love Your Unique Body, and Quiet That Critical Voice. And in 1996, Connie co-founded The Body Positive, a nonprofit organization that provides practical tools for developing balanced, joyful self-care and a relationship with our bodies that is guided by love, forgiveness, and humor. In Connie's 2021 TEDx talk, Embracing Your Critical Voice, The Gateway to Self-Love, she shares her painful yet powerful journey to self-love and offers ways for others to get there as well. Connie, thank you for being here today.
It's an absolute pleasure, Signa. Thanks for having me.
Connie, I thought I'd start by letting our listeners know how the two of us know each other. And I don't know, you probably don't remember this, but I mean, I've told you, but in 1999, I went to my first ever body image anything with The Body Positive. And 20 years later, I called you, I know you remember this, and asked you to be the author of our foreword for our teen book, No Way, where you speak of your own experience with your eating disorder in your teen years, as well as the death of your sister, Stephanie. And for those who have not read the foreword of No Way, Stephanie died because she was at war with her body. Speaking of being at war with our bodies, today we're going to talk specifically about the aging body and more. Connie, I adore Carrie Fisher's quote, "Men don't age better than women do. They're just allowed to age. Why do we accept wrinkles on men, but we don't accept wrinkles on women?"
Such a great question. I think we are trained to see men as having power. And power is something, especially in a mature man. And so that comes with an aging face. However, that said, I feel like this is changing because when you look at men in Hollywood and how much plastic surgery is being done on men's faces and men who are in the public, this is really changing. So I'm not sure it's the same anymore. I think we're not accepting them as much in certain areas, but in general life, I think that it's much easier for men to have wrinkles because it seems more distinguished.
I see. Yeah. And historically, it has been okay. It's interesting. I remember quite a few years ago being at Paper Source, which is a card store, and there was this card there, and it said, "Things that get better with age." And there was a picture of cheese, wine, and George Clooney. But there wasn't a female card. A colleague of mine said that, you know, we tend to see men with our hearts, not with our eyes, and we're more conditioned to see women for their looks.
That's interesting. I think that's true to some extent. And I think that there's just this sort of a carte blanche for men to be who they are. And women have since the beginning of time, been judged by what they look like. And so it's just an assumption that we're going to judge a woman by what she looks like. And with a man, I mean, I really do believe that's changing, though. I think that it's equal opportunity body hatred time. And especially we're seeing that in young boys, too, that boys are very fixated on what they look like now. And so, but as we get older, you know, I think men are having a harder time aging than they used to.
Yeah, agreed. And it certainly doesn't sound like the solution, right? I just did an interview with Dr. Jason Nagata about men and boys and thinking in terms of, gosh, you know, I mean, back in the day, years ago, it was Tom Hanks who's very lovely, right? But now it's The Rock, and it's Marvel characters. So I definitely agree. And, you know, I've heard you say it's taken a whole lot of practice to see beauty in your changing body. What is your practice?
I want to start by talking about one of the things that's really important to me, which is that my sister died when she was 36 years old. And so everything in my life changed at that point. That's one of the reasons I started the Body Positive. And one of the things that I realized, I was in my 30s as well, and I realized, I don't know. I mean, she had specific problems because of her body hatred, and I had gotten over mine. I got over my eating disorder when I was almost 22 and really made peace with my body. But I thought, I still don't know. What, something could happen to me and I could die in my 30s. It's a big wake-up call to have someone that close to you die at an early age. And so I realized, I want to have fun in my life. My life is going to have as much fun as possible and as much joy as possible because I don't know how long I'll be here. So that was like this wake-up call then. And one of the things that I got was, it's not fun to hate my body. And as I got older, it's just been such a big part of it because I want to have pleasure in my body. And I can't be intimate with someone if I'm worried about a wrinkle here or a roll there or lumpy thighs or whatever it is, or my neck, because I'm self-conscious about it. I don't want to have that in my life. I want pleasure. I want experiences in my life. And so my practice is to, whenever I do hear the critical voice comes up, because I won't pretend that it doesn't, but when it does come up, I turn towards it and I work with it to try and quiet it. So I have lots of techniques around that. And then the main thing that I do is I go out in nature and I see myself as a natural wonder. And I really feel so much freer and I allow myself to just be present on the planet and really enjoy my life and my body.
I just appreciate you bringing it forward, saying it out loud, naming it and taking the air out of it and really talking about it as a practice, not you're not presenting it, you're not doing any false advertising and presenting it as a finished product.
Right. I mean, I think that we do people a disservice when we pretend that everything's great all the time. We're never going to get to that place where it's like, ooh, I love myself all the time and everything's perfect. I love my body all the time. I'm happy with myself. I made it. I got there. It's the same with trying to perfect our bodies. Like we get to that place and then suddenly we're this statue and nothing's ever going to change again. It's a false belief that we're fed from an early age that we can get to a place where we perfect ourselves. So for me, all of my work is about helping people allow their humanness to be present in their lives, allowing them to have bad days and then be able to pick themselves up, whether that's through being in community with others, whether it's contacting someone who loves us or whether it's standing in the mirror and looking and seeing and looking with different eyes and waiting until there's a different sense and all of that stuff that we are fed by media and advertising and corporations that want to make money off of us, that we are able to see ourselves with a clear mirror, which is our soul. I mean, that's the piece. It's getting to the soul piece. And the soul is reflected in how we are in our bodies. So it's not just like my beauty is my external self. It's my embodiment. It's me inhabiting my body, mind, spirit. I'm one. And therefore, that's what I can then move through the world in. And that's, to me, what it's all about.
I think that congruency in word and action makes people feel safe. And I've just found the things that you've talked about very helpful in my own process. So the second part of your answer has to do with nature. Can you say a whole lot more about that?
I would love to.
Okay.
Nature has healed me in so many ways throughout my life. When I had my eating disorder and I was a teenager, I would go to this one place where I would do a lot of rock climbing, free climbing. I was a kid and I grew up at this place. So I got to just be on this mountain completely free. And what I learned to do there was to trust my body. So if I move a hand or a foot, if I don't do it right, I'm going to fall down and could die from that. I mean, this is what we were doing. And so I learned to deeply trust myself there. And I had to learn how to take that home with me. And I realized when I was in nature, when I was on granite, when I was around trees, when I was in the water, I felt that I was part of something bigger than myself. I felt that I was part of the planet. I was a creature on the planet. I wasn't separate from what I was seeing around me. And so as my body's aged, I have so much fun. Like I have a favorite tree that I climb to every summer and I put my hand on it and my hands feel like tree bark, you know, as they've gotten wrinkly and, you know, blotchy and stuff. And one day I was up in the hills here in Berkeley and I looked down and I felt like I was looking down from a plane on the Serengeti. And I had just had that experience and it was like, oh my gosh, there's so much going on. There's so much life in there. And if it was all smooth and there were no wrinkles, there wouldn't be anything happening. So it's not the first thing I necessarily see, but the practice and why this is a practice is when I first look and go, ew, that's the conditioned response.
Oh,
that
nice.
I've gotten, right? From
that's
society.
The conditioned response. I just like to name it. That's fabulous.
It.
That's
it's
the conditioned
planted,
response.
Right.
Yes.
Right. It's planted in my brain from a very early age that this is beauty and this is not. And so my practice is to hear that and then have this experience where I take time with it and I look and I see, and I'm looking at my hand right now and I'm 61 years old. I mean, it's wrinkly. I've been in the sun. So it's and my skin is getting really thin, but it really feels like tree bark. And so I do that with all the different parts of my body. The rings on my neck, you know, the wrinkles in my neck are like the rings on a tree. And my thighs are the lumpiness. I think of my lake and when the wind is blowing and it's the lake is bumpy, right? The sun shines on it. And then there's these sparkles. And the diamond sparkles on the lake are one of my favorite things in life. They just fill me with so much joy. So when I look at my legs, I think of the diamond sparkles wouldn't be there without the lumps and the bumps. And so I don't have to have perfectly smooth skin. I can have these, you know, lumpy pieces on me. And to imagine that image helps me then be able to move on and go off and use my body and use my thighs.
What do you have to say about this feeling of becoming invisible?
I have so much to say about this because I love this topic. One of the things that I feel, I don't feel invisible,
okay,
but I also feel like if I choose and want to hide, I can hide more easily now.
Oh, okay.
It's really interesting. So I what I have learned about this piece around aging and the body and invisibility is that when I'm in alignment, as I was talking about earlier, connected body, mind, spirit, soul, I'm awake and alive, when I walk down the street, my energy is noticed. So people might think it's what I look like, but it doesn't have anything to do with my actual physical appearance. There's an energy field that is happening because I'm lit. I am connected all the way through, right?
I follow.
So it's about attraction. And I love thinking about like electron shells in physics. And I was a physics major for a while when I was, you know, trying to get through school when I had my eating disorder. But one of the things I love is this idea of an energy field around us. And so we can have that or we can tone it down and we can have it brighter or we can tone it down. If I think I'm invisible, if I think I'm ugly, if I think that I'm not okay because I'm 61 years old or I'm aging or I have gray hair or whatever it is, then I'm going to be invisible if I believe that.
I see.
I feel alive and alert and awake, and it doesn't mean it's not going to happen somewhere. You know, like I was on my mountain. I was actually part of a rescue of someone who had fallen off a rock, and all of these young men were coming up to try and do the rescue. This was up near Lake Tahoe. And I was the one to lead them to how to get there because I know this mountain so well. And they didn't want to follow me because I had gray hair, right? And I was an older person and they didn't believe that I could do it. And then at one point, one of them yelled across to his friend, "Hey, go stand over by the old lady." And I shouted literally across this bowl on this mountain. I was like, "Excuse me?" And so then he came up to me later and my friend who was there said, "She can run circles around you on this mountain. You have no idea what she can do here." And so then he came up and he apologized to me later and I was like, no biggie. But so there I was, you know, I wasn't seen for who I actually was. And so that was one really interesting time for me when I felt like, oh, wow, I'm seen as an old lady.
And wouldn't that be an example of ageism? I'm not going to follow her because of her white hair. That's
absolutely
ageism. Okay.
Absolutely. And okay, I was also a woman. I think it was right, the combo. I was the only female on the mountain with all of these people. And I mean, I had been the first one to be at the rescue spot, you know, because I had scrambled up and found the person. And then everybody started coming and helping. So yeah, that was the one time I really felt it. I haven't felt it much since then. I actually get more comments about my gray hair, people stopping me to say, wow, what do you do to your hair? And as it really started, I would have, it was fascinating. Younger men would be like, oh my God, your hair, what do you do to your hair? I was like, I'm getting older. It was really fun.
Are there circumstances where someone might feel invisible as they're growing older, but sort of like it in a way?
Sure. Yeah, it's freeing. I mean, I think it's really
freeing.
I like that part of it.
It's freeing. Okay.
I think it's not always being seen as a sexual object. I think that it's being able to be seen as maybe a whole person or to me, it gives me more choice about when I want to be seen and when I don't.
Whoa. Okay. I actually,
because it's not that assumption that you're female, so therefore you're the property of everybody else, is how I feel a lot of things happen with females, is that you, because as we talked about in the beginning, you are, everything about you is your looks. That's the most important thing about
right,
you. Then therefore you become the property of everybody else in the world because they get to comment about your looks or they get to relate to you because of the way you look. When you get older, people relate to you in a different way. It's not about necessarily what you look like. And there's a lot of freedom in that. And there's so much wisdom that comes, and it doesn't matter anymore because ego isn't involved. And I don't need to be seen in the same way I used to because I see myself and I know who I am. I mean, the thing is that it would make it harder. I have a partner. So I'm not dating. I'm not looking for love out in the world. I think it would be a lot harder for me if that were the case. I think I would probably have more insecurities about having to be seen. And I'm also really lucky. I have friends who have had partners who, you know, wanted them to get Botox in their faces because they were starting to look older. So I'm very lucky. I am with a person who honors my body, and I don't want to pretend that it's easy to be out in the world and have an aging body. So to take off my clothes in front of somebody else, yeah, that would be harder. I mean, the other thing is at this lake where I go and on the mountain where I am, we've been going and skinny dipping forever since we were teenagers. So there has been this freedom with my body and what it looks like as it's gotten older. So I'm lucky there as well. I've had a lot of freedom in my life around being okay about my body with other people around.
Okay.
So I think it's really hard. I don't want to pretend that it's easy at all.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you for speaking
but
to that.
It's worth it. So that's the other thing I want to say. It's worth working towards that because we're here for a limited amount of time. And even if we live to be 100, my mom's 93 and I watch her and how she is in her body. She hasn't wasted any time thinking something's wrong with her body. She has always loved her body. It was my dad who had the body image issues that helped cause my eating disorder. So the freedom to just live and do the things we want to do and not waste the mental energy of thinking, oh, crap, something's wrong with me. It doesn't mean it doesn't come in moments, but do the work in the moment and get through it and get help if you need help with that, because this is your life. This is it. This is it, right? This is it. And why not, as I said in the beginning, let's have as much fun as we can, and hating our bodies and thinking something's wrong with us is not fun. And it's also exhausting, and it the energy drain, that's what we then give to other people. And so I want to have as much vibrancy, and I want to be a role model for my daughter who's 30.
Right.
To show that aging is a beautiful thing. She climbs mountains with me and she's like, every now and then she's like, I can't believe that you're 61 years old and you can do this and I can't do this, you know? So I want to use my body. I want to live. And to me, like this idea of that's what I got when I got over my eating disorder was this moment of, I want to live, because I was suicidal. I mm-hmm. felt suicidal. I really didn't want to be here. And then there was this moment where I made the choice. And when I said, I want to live, it mm-hmm. was a commitment to living freely in my body and working through the problems as they arise.
And, you know, what's interesting in hearing the way you told the story about your sister, Stephanie, today, for some reason, something clicked in for me that hadn't clicked in before. And that is what it did to your own mortality. You know, yeah. just like, oh, I, you know, you've said it before. You haven't not said it. It's just something really clicked in about that happening, being so young, somebody so close to you. I cannot even imagine. And what you chose to do after that.
Yes. Yeah. It changed me completely.
Yeah.
My whole life changed. I mean, that's why we have the body positive.
Yeah.
And we've reached over 1 million people. And I just posted on Facebook today because the 29th anniversary of her death was last week. And next week we're celebrating the 25th anniversary of the body positive. And I just feel that if that had been around when we were young, she would be alive.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's really up for me right now that this is such a waste. I lost a friend to anorexia this summer, a young friend who was in her 30s, and she tried for so long and she didn't make it. And
yeah.
this is a waste. This is a waste of so much, and I can't stand it. So my commitment to my sister and to all of these other people is that I'm gonna love myself as much as I can, and I'm gonna do the work. I'm gonna do those practices and not pretend that it's easy and not pretend that I'm gonna be there in every moment. But that's being human.
Right.
And that's my commitment.
Yesterday or the day before, I think I left you this message. I just posted that Carrie Fisher quote, just a simple little quote on my Therapy Rocks Instagram page, which I don't give enough attention to, so I don't get very many likes, and I deserve that. Well, I post her quote, and it just went, like, off the charts. And I'm like, how interesting. It's time. And with the new, it's a hard time, and it's also an exciting time. It's a time of mixed emotion.
What I see is that women in these later stages of life, the power when they do the work to accept not only their bodies, but all these other parts of their lives and do this work to find out who they are and what freedom means to them, that this then affects next generations of women and, you know, all
exactly.
genders, because the power in an older woman is phenomenal. Uh-huh. It's phenomenal. I mean, think about some of the older women. Think of Maya Angelou.
Right.
I mean, is there a more powerful woman that existed
right.
ever? And she has... On YouTube, I saw these videos of her when she's talking about being in her 70s and then the 80s. And she's just like, oh, it's, you know, it's delicious. And I remember her saying one of them, it's delicious. And I just, that's how I want to live a delicious life.
What is something you're creating right now that you're getting pretty excited about?
Well, I started a book on aging, and what ended up happening with it, I worked with a publisher, and we decided to put out what they call a book emerging. So
okay.
it's basically the nature chapter of a book that I probably will write someday, but if it doesn't, then this is great because something will exist. So I worked with a young friend of mine, a photographer. He's the son of one of my oldest friends that I've known since I was born. And he goes to this lake in the summer where I go. So I've known him since he was born. And so we did a project where we had me out in nature. And so we have my ruddy face on like this really beautiful granite. So you can see like the roughness of my face next to the granite and my hands on the trees and my legs in the lake and all these different places. And so we took these pictures, and in some I took off my clothes, and it was a very vulnerable thing for me to do. It's not like nudes, you know, in nature, like most things. It's really just body parts of me with different parts in nature that have helped me see my body as a natural wonder. So the book Emerging is almost done, and that people can pre-order exciting. If they want. I have the website now. It went up today.
They can so. Right now. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's at ficpress.com.
Okay. And then I'll definitely put that on the link for the podcast episode today as well. So great, people can find great. It. Okay.
Wonderful. And it was really interesting because when I first looked at the photos that Colin took of me, it was really hard. It was really hard because all I could do was focus in on the body parts that I used to always criticize when I was younger, you know, my thighs or this or that, or, ooh, there's a roll and ooh, look at that. And I sat there with it and just kept looking and I just kept looking and I let my vision expand to the place where then I could actually see me as just these pieces of nature. And it was the most beautiful experience and it was really hard. I'm not going to say it wasn't. But then Colin also had these photographs and they're in the book Emerging as well, which are just of these rock forms and different things. And we were talking and they look like body parts. It's wild. And we talked about how if we then placed a human on there, we would then judge the human for what they look like. But we're not judging the rocks for a lump here or a bump there, right?
Right.
It was a fantastic process for me to go to. And I feel like I've been so much freer since then. And now when I look at them, and especially like seeing my face, because I don't have the greatest skin, you know? And so it's rough. And that's okay. I've been too much in the sun, whatever it is. I have rough skin on my face. But seeing it next to granite, I'm in love with granite. I'm a weirdo. I love granite. I love being on it. And so to see my face as granite was so lovely. And I saw so much beauty.
Connie, I want to thank you, you know, for shining your light on this gender wound. You know, I've heard it be called a gender wound. And that really resonated. And just for bringing balance and healing to a more intergenerational and inclusive way of being.
I appreciate all that you do, too. I just referred someone to you today, my assistant did.
Oh, no.
You are a healer. Aww. You are one of the healers in the world.
Thank you so much, Connie.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you for joining us today for another episode of Therapy Rocks. And a reminder that you can rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And feel free to contact me at www.signadarpinian.com. I'll see you next month.